us tonight. I have felt the presence of God. I've felt the glory of God. How about you? How many have felt that presence?
Amen.
Amen. Just the sweet presence of the Lord. To the point you just want to just lay in that presence and just stay there. I didn't want to get out of it because I just felt God ministering to us by His Spirit. The Bible says where the presence of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Come on.
And we know that there's liberty in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And in that liberty, we can express ourselves through our worship, through our appreciation, through our adoration unto Him. All of you that are here tonight, you're not here by mistake, but you're here by divine appointment.
Yes.
Us here. He has summoned us here together. And because we are here, we are ready to receive, amen, more from the Lord. How many
amen.
Want more
amen.
From the Lord? Amen. Before I get into the Word of God, I want us, amen, quickly, just, well, I was going to say quickly for giving honor to whom honor is due. But I just want us just to take a moment, amen, if those that can, that cannot, do not, but those that can, if you can just stand to your feet. Stand up and let's just worship God just for a moment. Let's just thank God for His glory. Let's just thank God that He's already here. And we just want to just worship You and honor You for who You are. We thank You, God, because You're God. And besides You, there is no other. We honor You, God. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your glory. We thank You for Your honor. We worship You, God, for You are God. And beside You, there is no other. You are God. And we thank You now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for the healing, God. Thank you for the restoration, God. Thank you for the glory of God. Thank you for the angelic host that is here right now. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, God, thank you. Yeah. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's here. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise the name of God. I certainly thank God for this honor and privilege to be here with all of you, God's people. I thank God for the host pastors that invited me. It's been a long time since I have been in Wisconsin, but I'm glad to be back. Amen. In Wisconsin. Amen. Pastor Raymond Reed, amen, and his wife, amen. Sister, the lady elect, Wanda Reed, we appreciate them in Jesus' name. We thank God for Pastor Tom and Pastor Darlene and to their family and to all of God's people that are part of this ministry, New Beginnings. Yes. This is a new beginning.
Amen.
And, we are thankful for what God is doing for this particular house. Amen. There's so many familiar faces that are here on tonight, and I thank God for all of you. I don't want to start calling all these names because I'll get in trouble, but I thank God for my chocolate cake tonight. Sister Barbara, amen. Amen. I said, put it in the office. Amen. I'm going to leave that. But I'm thankful for those that have come that are part of KM. Is a part of our fellowship. And first, that's Pastor Rashawn Carter.
Amen.
All the way from Chicago, she ministered just a little bit, about an hour or so ago, and she did a phenomenal teaching on the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate what God did through her. Amen. And the dear sister that came with her, woman of God, we appreciate you. Amen. Thank God for Prophet Monique, who is from Kentucky. You all know her. Most of you know her. Amen. And we thank God for her. Amen. Everybody's claiming her, so I'm claiming her too. Well, I'm the one that licensed her, so. Amen. But we thank God for Prophet Monique that is a part of KM. Amen. And to all of you, to the leadership, we appreciate you. God bless you. I'm thankful for all of you being here because we're in a day now that people don't hardly come to church.
That's right. That's right.
And especially on a night like this, you could be doing something else with your life. But for this many people to come out tonight, I am thankful. I am appreciative that some of you made sacrifices, North Dakota, to be here. Amen. I am so honored and elated that people want to hear the Word of God and be a part of this meeting. That means a lot to me. I don't take ministry lightly.
Amen.
I believe that we should take ministry seriously, especially the day that we're in now.
Yeah.
When it's really
yeah.
taking it seriously. Together, that says something. And so, again, I'm thankful to be here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now, Brother Reed, he knows that it is hard to get me to, well, my people can tell you, it's hard for me to go preach for people hardly anymore. It's like pulling teeth to get me to come preach at a church. So if I come, you better believe God told me to come.
Amen.
I'm extremely busy with what God has done in our life, my life. I run a fellowship, and in that fellowship, we had about five churches And in the pandemic, I don't know what happened, but something explosive happened in the pandemic. And we went from 5 churches to now 42 churches. That is a part of my covering.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of responsibility. Wow. We have schools in Africa, Liberia, West Africa. I was just in Liberia, West Africa, ministering, feeding the homeless, feeding the prisoners and the security guards because there's a shortage of food. And so now government is asking for our help. We have someone now from Liberia that is coming to the States that the vice president is a part of their church, his church. And so we're working with him and the vice president on helping solve the educational system in Liberia, West Africa. And so we have a lot of work to do. We're in Pakistan. We're also in Colombia and Kenya, West Africa. And so with all of that responsibility, it's hard for me to go places because I'm constantly with what I have to do with the fellowship.
Right.
And so with the promotion, with the elevation, new levels, new devils, new people, more frustration. Amen. It all comes with the territory. Another reason why I don't always travel to different churches and preach is because I don't like the politics of church.
Come on.
I don't like the games of church.
Come on.
And so I'm not into what other people are into. Amen. I'm not trying to be popular. I'm not trying to be the who's who or the who's hot or who's not. I just want to be with people who want God.
Amen. Come on.
There we go.
I just want to be with people that are down to earth.
Amen.
And my people can tell you, I just got invited. Several appointments. Mega church asked me to come. I did not even respond. They kept calling, and I didn't respond. Now I don't let my secretary call people tell them no, because I want to be disrespectful. But when he asked me to come, I heard by the Spirit of God, I need to be here.
Amen.
I don't know what God is going to do. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Amen.
Maybe it's already happening.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. I just know I'm supposed to be here.
Praise God.
Amen. And as long as I'm obedient to God, whatever he wants to do, we're going to let him do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many ready for God to do whatever he wants to do? And so I was wrestling in my spirit. Now I have a hillbilly accent, so you hear the hillbilly come out of me. We don't say wrestling, we say wrestling. So I was wrestling with what to minister on tonight, and I wanted to do my own thing.
Amen.
I wanted to preach something easy and then just, you know, next appointment and then get on out of here. But the Lord kept dealing with me to preach and declare what he wants me to say.
Amen.
And so I kept hearing this, and I was trying to deviate from that, but I kept hearing, glory now.
Come on. Glory
now.
Come on.
Glory now. Someone say, glory now.
Glory now.
It kept ringing in my spirit. I kept hearing it flowing out of my belly. Glory now. Say what I say. Glory now. And as we were sitting here worshiping, he said, because we're in a now glory,
amen,
this now glory is going to be a new glory.
All right.
Come on.
It's going to be a new glory that you have not yet seen or experienced. But you will experience it. Because we're coming into the time, into the moment where we're coming to the eyes have not seen.
Yes, come on.
Nor the ears have heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. God says, I'm bringing you into a moment that has not been prophesied yet.
Come on.
The prophet has not seen it. The Nabi has not heard it. It has not even entered anybody's heart what he's going to do.
Come on.
He said, I put this on pause. I held this as a secret. That I wouldn't let anybody reveal this because there's a moment where it's just going to happen.
Yes.
Come on, come on, right, come on.
Ooh, glory to God. It's, and I want to tell you, you're in a moment now where things are just ready to happen.
Yes.
And it's going to hit you when you least expect it.
Yes.
It's going to be a glory that's going to hit you when you least expect it. And the reason why it's going to hit you when you least expect it is because you love him. And because many of you have committed to being loyal and faithful with everybody else, was giving up and quitting and backsliding, even in the pews, they were still going to church, but in their heart, they had backslid.
Come on now.
They were here, but not here. They were present, but not in the presence of God.
Amen.
He said, because you remain faithful, hallelujah, there are some things now that I'm ready to manifest for my people that you haven't even seen yet.
Praise God.
And I'm telling you, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I need someone to shout, rejoice.
Rejoice!
Now, this is the new glory that is coming, and is coming in this moment. And I want to read these particular passages of scripture, and that's out of the book of Exodus 33. Book of Exodus 33 and verse 18. Exodus 33, verse 18, and also 2 Corinthians 2 and 18. Exodus 33 and 18, and 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is Moses. In verse 18 he says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim my name in the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show you mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he says, thou cannot seize my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me that thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand, and while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 18. Let's go to 17. It says, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, it says, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Someone shout, glory now.
Glory now.
That's what the Spirit is saying. Glory now. And say, new glory.
New glory.
Glory now. It is a new glory. In the book of Haggai, it says this. In Haggai 2, verse 3, Lord bless in Jesus' name. In Haggai 2, verse 3, it says, and I'm just going to flow. Can I just flow like I want to?
Yeah.
I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just being nice. In Haggai 2, verse 3, it says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing? He says, who is left among you who saw the house, the temple, in its first glory? That word, who is left, could be actually remnant. Who's the remnant?
Right.
That saw the house in its former glory.
Yes.
In its past glory.
Yes.
And how do you see it now? The reason why he's asking the question is because there was a lot of people that did not make the transition.
Mm. Yes. Mm.
They died in past glory. And they couldn't get past their past. And so they died worshiping yesterday, mm-hmm. not able to move into a new day. Yeah. Some people have died in transition because they don't see the glory that they used to see.
Come on.
And it's a frustrating thing. Because how do we see it now? How do we see it now? Mm. Those that have been in church for a while would know how the glory appeared back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And what we see today.
Right. Come on, come on.
Is no comparison. No comparison to what we experienced yesterday. I'm glad that I was raised in the old church. I'm glad that my mother told me, she said, you were raised right when we were coming out of that move. You were raised in it. And so I saw manifestation. I saw alcoholics that would come into the church and the mothers would lay hands on them and they would come out of the church sober.
Yes.
I would see demons flow coming out of people manifesting. And an old mother would jump up and she would have a cane. She would drop her cane and start walking.
Yeah.
Lay her hands on her, cast the devil out of them, and it would leave, and they would go back and sit down with their cane. I saw that kind of power being demonstrated. My own apostle, who passed away in 2010, a woman died in his arms and he spoke life back into her and she opened her eyes and came back to life. I've seen that kind of power. I've seen that kind of anointing. Yes. Today, what we call the anointing has become great entertainment.
Come on.
We have reduced the anointing down to people being slain in the spirit.
Come on.
Yeah.
And having convulsions. And I'm not against slaying the spirit. I slay people from time to time. But do you not know witches can do that?
Come on.
Witches can cause you to do the same thing. Do you not know witches can speak in tongues?
Yes.
It's no different from what we're doing. And so oftentimes what I see happening in the church is just like the world. There's really no change. It's just a lot of emotions.
Come on.
I don't understand all of these praise breaks and shouting and dancing, but you're not still holy.
Right.
Nothing has changed on the inside of you.
Come on.
And so what we now call the move of God has become great theatrics.
Come on.
I hear great teaching, but I'm lacking hearing the sound.
Jesus.
Come on.
There was a sound that people carried.
That's it.
Yeah.
The sound has left.
Yes.
Great principles. Great biblical truths. But there's no sound behind the teaching.
Come on.
There's no sound that when Jimmy Swaggart would preach, it would make people run to the altar.
Yes.
Not feel motivated once they heard your sermon.
Right.
We're now more concerned about feeling motivated than being transformed by the power of God's word.
Yeah.
And so when you see something that used to be and it no longer is happening, my mentees, they accuse me of being old school, too old at times, even though I'm trying to stay young with them. I'm trying to. I'm working on all of it. I'm trying to stay connected with all of them, but I keep telling them, you've had to experience this moment in the past. If you know what I'm talking about, you've had to been there.
Yes, sir.
Because if you ever been there and felt that kind kind of presence,
yes,
you would understand that I'm not being judgmental.
Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
Experienced something that transformed my life. And so he said, is there a remnant left that saw the house in its first glory? And where do you see it now? It is in comparison to, oh my God, to nothing, to what I'm about to do next.
Come on. Come on.
God. I know what I did in Azusa Street was awesome. I hear you, Prophet. I know what I did in Kathleen Kuhlman's time was powerful. I know what I did in Wigglesworth time was powerful. And I know the books you have read and you've seen certain manifestations happening. You said, oh God, I would love to experience that. But God says what you are going to enter into is... nothing is going to be compared to what's going to happen.
Come on.
Your books that you have read. Hallelujah. The people that you have studied.
Come on.
Oh, God. I hear you, God. I hear you, God. I heard the Holy Spirit say this, and I heard the Holy Spirit. Spirit. The Holy Spirit said this. I'm used to saying the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit, because that's the old school.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, Mark... he said, yes, I'm releasing old mantles from people that have passed on and have left. I'm releasing those mantles.
Yeah.
But he said also, he said, tell them I'm releasing new mantles.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Oh, come on. That the world has never seen. This earth, this world will experience a new glory.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Thank you,
through people that I am going to put stuff on. Put mantles on that the world has never seen before, that, my God, that has never been written in a book.
Come on.
You will have no point of reference of what I am going to place on you, what I'm going to put in you, what I'm going to do through you. There's not going to be anybody that's going to have the DNA of that thing. It's going to be directly downloaded from heaven, and I'm going to place it on you, and you're going to do something. I'm telling you, and I want to prophesy, there is yet to, oh my God, to be another great awakening. There's a yet to be another great revival. Yes, we have got sporadic movements that have happened across our country and our land, but I prophesy that you ain't seen nothing yet. But I want to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. You don't have to go to Pensacola, Florida or Osbury to experience what I'm going to do for you. Because what I'm going to do for you doesn't have to be, oh God, that you go into another city to get it. I'm going to release a mantle on you.
Yes.
Because what the church oftentimes make the mistake of is we are looking for the next hero.
All right.
We are looking for the next icon. We're looking for the next prophet. We're looking for the next evangelist. We're looking for the next apostle. Yes. We're looking for people that has it. But can I prophesy and tell you that you have it? You are for what God is doing. Notice that there are many older leaders that are coming. They're leaving. They're passing away. Why? Because in this hour, we're not going to be focused on main characters.
Come on.
For what God is going to do, it has no name. Nobody gets the credit from this.
Come on.
This is a corporate thing.
Yes,
a thing that where God raises up a unity of people, black, white, Hispanic.
Come on.
Come on, Mexican, but he pours out his glory, and you define the odds.
All right.
You define what the politics and what everyone is saying understand that we want more than we want more than politics. We want more than just a dab of doom. We want glory.
Come on. Yeah.
And there's some people in this room that is hungry for the glory of God. I don't know about you, but when I come to church, I don't need your opinion.
Come on,
I don't need your politics. I need the glory of God. And has messed a lot of people up is we have gotten in arguments and fights and debates until it is split black folks and white folks and everybody is in their own huddle. But God says, I'm bringing back,
a
group of people. And it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's a God thing. It's a God thing that I place my glory on. So he says, how do you see it? He says, comparison to nothing. And so he says, in verse 9, he says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, said the Lord of hosts. And this place I will give peace. Oh my God. One of the signs of glory is when peace comes in the midst of confusion.
Come on. Come on.
The church has been out of order. The church has been chaotic.
Oh my God.
The church has literally have gone into a war of rage and hatred. But I decree that the sign of glory is when peace comes back.
Come on.
Can I decree and declare? Oh my God, that there's a peace that's going to come in the houses of God. And that's the way you're going to know that the glory has come back. I need about five people that feel the glory coming back right now. Say it again, the glory is coming back.
The glory is coming back.
Can I tell you, we're not suffering from a sin problem.
Yes.
We're suffering from a glory problem.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
It's not sin that we're struggling with. We're suffering from a glory shortage. We have all sinned and have come short of
the glory of
God.
Yes.
Which means we've all missed the mark at because we have missed the mark of what?
His glory.
We don't have a sin issue. We have a glory issue. And if people can get his glory, sin won't be the issue.
Come on now.
When real glory shows up, you can't eat the way you eat. You can't talk the way you talk. You can't walk the way you walk. You can't. It makes you love people that you don't even like. When glory comes, it makes you do things that you didn't think you would do because you got glory. And see, if we can get the glory back, we can stop the sin problem.
Come on.
We wouldn't have to preach so much on don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. If we can get the glory.
Come on, man of God.
And I want to tell you that God's going to release glory that's going to solve the race issues. That's going to solve the prescription drug issues. That's going to solve the incapacitation issues. God is going to release a glory that's going to cause people to be healed. And come up out of wheelchairs. And nobody lay hands on them.
Come on.
But it's the holy presence of God that sweeps the house and causes blind eyes to be opened. And they say, who opened your eyes? Who laid hands on you? Nobody laid hands on me. I was in the glory. I got in the presence of God and he healed me. How many said I want that? So he says the latter glory is going to be greater than the former. In the book of Exodus 33, I read in your hearing, if you read Exodus 32, you will see that Moses has went up to get a download from God, to get the Decalogue, to receive the information. And as he's there receiving information, the children of Israel have gotten a golden calf. And started stripping and orgies, and they went back into the culture that Moses got them out of.
Come on.
While he was up in the prison of God.
Jesus.
I used to think that if I went up in the prison of God, the people that are under me would stay cool.
Come on.
No.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
I realize when you go up in the presence of God, you're going to come down to some problems.
I got it.
All right. All right.
I found out the more I get to God to hear what God is saying, the more people start creating chaos.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Now, Moses already demonstrated the power of killing a calf. But yet they're getting their old God back. Because when they don't see things happening quickly, they go back to what they're used to. You're going back to a God that didn't work in the first place. And here they are creating drama and chaos. And God says, you can get back down to your people. If I was in my church, you know what I would say. You need to go back to your people. Because those not my ninjas. Go get them. Praise the Lord. Go back and you saw that because that's your people. Most like, wait a minute, these are your people. He says that. They're doing something and you got to get down quickly because after you got a download from me, the people in this city, in your town, in your country, in your church are creating cliques and clubs.
I don't know what to do.
I used to think I was so anointed I could preach so good and I could teach so good that there would never be cliques and clubs talking about me.
You're right.
Oh,
yeah. You're
right. Oh, how naive I was. Now, I don't ever consider myself to be a great preacher. I don't consider nothing. I just, Lord, use me. Because I realized that folks will create stuff.
Come on now.
When they don't see you.
Come on now.
Yeah.
All right.
While you're trying to get revelation.
See?
They have hateration.
Come on. All right, tell them.
And they're trying to vote you out. And vote their new God in.
Yes.
And the problem is the leadership that they put in place is along with the games.
Come on.
And Moses has to call order to a chaotic situation.
Yes.
He says, I'm going to slay everyone.
Come on.
In every tribe that has been doing things that is not the glory.
Come on.
Because you have fallen short and you have created this problem, I'm taking you out. And God says to Moses in Exodus 32, 33, he says, all right, Moses, I'll tell you what. I'm going to send an angel and I'm going to make sure I take the children of Israel to their promise. They're going to receive the promise because I made covenant with their fathers. Let me tell you something. God will honor his word even if he don't like you.
Come on.
That's true. God is a God of covenant.
Yes. Glory to God.
All right.
He really would want to kill you if he could. He said, can I? He told Moses, can I slay all of them and create a new nation? And Moses said, Lord, if you kill them, you won't be a good God because you made covenant. And so God says, all right, I know I made covenant with them, so I'll tell you what, I'll let them get their promise. I'll send the angels with them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I won't go with them. He says, my presence won't go.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. We say God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time.
Right.
Yes, he is. He's omnipresent. Omni meaning he's everywhere or nowhere at any previous time. He's everywhere. So he's past, present, and future. He's in your past, he's in your present, he's in your future. He's everywhere. But God doesn't manifest his presence everywhere.
Come on.
He doesn't show up
All right.
Everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Right? So you can be in the service and you don't feel nothing. Because he didn't show up. Because one of the words for glory is wait.
Yes.
The old folks, when they used to pray, they say, Lord, throw your weight around.
Yeah.
Right.
See, when he doesn't release the weight of glory, it's because he don't like that church. And we think God don't like churches because it has small groups.
No.
God don't like certain churches that have a lot of people.
Come on, man.
That's right.
Come on.
Oh, I'm messing up already. I'm going in there. I'm coming on out. Come on out, Walker. But I want to go in there. Because I'm seeing stuff that we say God is there. No, you just got good smoke screens.
Yeah.
I'm not against it. I'm not against you turning lights off. I'm not against any of that. But what I am saying is, that doesn't mean God is there.
Come on, all right. Say that. Right.
God can be in a place where everybody can sing off tune.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And the keyboard player can't really play.
Come on.
But if they have a heart for God,
yes.
See, God, I want you. The presence of God will show up. And what I am seeing now is God ain't showing up.
All right.
Because we really don't want him.
Oh, my.
Come on.
We don't want presence. We want his presence.
Come on.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
And he says, I'll get them to the promise. They'll get all their stuff, but they won't get me.
Yeah.
And so we're in a generation of preachers who don't mind bargaining.
Uh-oh.
To get stuff.
Come on.
And prestige and popularity, but not his presence.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, God. They want presence, gifts. But they don't want the presence of God. Many people don't mind selling their soul for things.
Come on, say that.
If it was up to other people, they'll say, well, go ahead and give me my stuff. But Moses says, can I say this? The Lord said, tell your story just quickly. Everything that I wanted, everything that I desired, the bishop ring, and I know y'all don't care about that, but I cared about all of that. I cared about the cross. I cared about the position. I cared about the doors. I cared about being on TV. I cared about all of that. That was my ambition. I was an ambitious young man until all hell broke loose in my life.
Come on.
And I almost lost my mind.
Jesus. Yeah.
And I was at my lowest and didn't think I was going to come out of it. You know, when God's presence came, that's what kept me from losing my mind. When my prayer life increased and my worship increased, even though I was hurting, and I had tears flowing down my eyes, and I didn't even want to preach, and I didn't want to minister, but yet I was coming in the presence of God, and his spirit was coming on me. All of a sudden, my whole mindset began to change, and I said, y'all can have all that.
Amen.
I know that's right.
You can have the titles, you can have the positions, you can have the TV, give me the presence. Because when you are going and you're about to lose your mind or lose everything, it is not going to be a nice car.
Come on.
That's going to keep you cool. It is not going to be a big house that's going to keep you comfortable. It is going to be the presence of God that is going to give you peace that surpasses all. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're looking at is a young man. I'm still young. I claim it, I'm 42. What you're looking at is a man that went all the way down, but came up with his presence.
Thank you.
And my perspective changed. Watch this. Because all I wanted was God, guess what? The TV came.
Yeah.
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 I don't even care about it. What did I told the people, I said, the TV ain't for me. I'm doing it for you all so y'all can get on there.
Yeah.
Pastor Rashawn got on there. I put her on there. I put the other people on there. Why? Because it ain't about me.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
The positions came. The promotion came. I got all of it. Don't even care about it anymore. You know why? Because my focus is not stuff. My focus is presence. Ladies and gentlemen, and Moses understood, if I get the stuff, but you are not with us, we don't need to be there. He said, we will not leave if you don't go with us. If you don't go, I'm staying here. Because the wilderness is better. I'm going to mess up. I know y'all don't like what I'm about to say. I know it because y'all love y'all promises. The promise of God are yea and amen. I know you love your promises. I know you want them, yes. But I'd rather be broke and have the presence. Than have all the money.
Come on.
To shoot my brains out.
Come on, Mike.
I'd rather have the presence of God than have to pay the best doctors to get rid of my cancer. You can have the specialist of your choice. You can have all of the options that you want. But if the presence of God is not there, it means nothing.
Oh God.
You know, it is something about, I wish everybody would go to Africa. Because there's something about those Africans when they walk to church with nothing.
Come on.
Have no car, have no vehicles. But they walk, sometimes walk in the rain, walking miles. And they don't come and sit, but they worship God. And they give God glory. And they give God praise. Because all they have is God. And there's such a presence that comes in the room. Because it's not coming from, Lord, give me. It's, Lord, give me you.
Yes.
I gotta stop.
No.
So Moses says in Exodus 33, y'all forgive me, I can get too carried away. Exodus 33, how much time do I got? Exodus 33, he says to God, I want you to go with me. God says, I'll go with you. Let me hurry up. I'll go with you. Okay, this is where I want to go. Moses says, okay, the people are going with me. They go, you want to go with us? Thank you. All right. All right, now, God, this is what I need from you. I need you to show me your glory.
Come on.
Yes.
Leaders, people, preachers, people of God, there's a place, there's a point that you can get the people to. But then you got to stop.
Amen. Come on.
Because they don't want no more.
That's it. That's it.
Yep.
You cannot make people want what they do not want. You can't push people in it. You can't manipulate people in it. If they don't want it, they don't want it. You can get them to a certain point, a certain place, and then you say, I got you here. But now, it ain't about you no more.
Right.
It's about me.
Yeah.
He says, show me.
Yes.
Your glory. They don't want it. I can't get them. But I want your glory. I've been trying to get them to see it too. But I can't force people to see it. So show me your glory. Is there anybody in this room that got that is personal right now that says, God, show me.
Yes.
I would love everyone else to see it, but they don't really want to see it, but show me. And God sent me here to tell you that there is a remnant in this room, hallelujah, that has been asking God, show me. That's why you're not here by mistake. You're here by divine appointment, because God is going to show you his glory. And you're going to see glory like you've never seen before. How many of you are going to see glory like you've never seen before? And so God says, all right. He says, all right, I'm going to show you my glory. You want to see my glory? I'll show you my glory. Now, this is amazing to me. Because God says, this is, in this, oh God, in Exodus 33, God defines his own glory.
Yeah.
He defines his own glory. That there's the kabod, which is the majesty, the weight of glory. The deoxo, glory, majesty, splendor. But God doesn't define his glory as splendor or majesty or weight. In this particular text, he says, I'm going to tell you what my glory is. My glory is my goodness.
Wow.
That's going to pass before you. God defines his own glory.
Yes.
And his glory is him being good to you.
Yeah.
When I pass by you, it's going to be my goodness.
Uh-oh.
Goodness is the most pronounced, most weighted word. Because in goodness is God.
Yeah.
Yes.
And anything that he made, he said it is
good.
All right.
He said it's good. And he made this and he said it's good. Why? Because if you take the old out of good, you got God.
Hallelujah.
And if you put O in, you got good.
Come on.
So what you have is a good God.
Come on. Come on.
God being good to you.
Yes.
Glory is God expressing his goodness.
Yes.
And the Bible said Jesus went around doing good.
Yes.
Because he was the Shekinah glory walking.
Come on.
Can y'all help me here?
Yes.
I want you to understand that God's goodness. Hallelujah. I'm trying to behave myself, but it's coming. And it's going to pass by you. Is there anybody who wants the goodness of God in this moment? And he says, I'm going to be kind to who I want to be kind to. I'm going to be merciful to whom I want. Which you can't make me choose who I be good to.
Come on. Please say that.
Even if you don't like them or not.
See?
I'm going to show them kindness because I like them.
All right.
Moses, I'm going to be good to you just because I like you. I'm going to show you kindness because I like you. Is there anybody in this room that's ready to experience the goodness of God's glory?
Come on.
I got to hurry up. He says, all right, I'm going to see my goodness, but you can't see my face. I can't show you my face because if you see my face, you won't live. Now, my problem with that text is, if you read prior, in the same text, in verse 11, it says, and Moses spoke to God face to face.
Yeah.
If you read it in the previous text, he speaks face to face. But then you tell me I can't see your face. Wait a minute. You said I was seeing you face to face, but now you said you can't see my face and live. What are you talking about, God? I don't understand. What he's saying is, he says, face to face means personal. The reason why Moses was face to face with God, because God was personal with him. But he said you can't see this new glory. Face. This new glory, because if you see this face, you're going to see far into the future.
Come on.
Of a Christ. So I can't show you his face because you ain't ready for the manifestation of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to let you see his backward part. He's been beaten for our transgression.
Jesus.
Bruised for our iniquity. Yes. I'm going to put my hand on you because it's anthropomorphic. Because really God don't have a body. He's the invisible God. So I'm going to show you a hand.
Come on.
And a back. Because in the future, somebody's going to take your sin. Somebody's going to take stuff for you. That's not for you. That's for a generation that will see it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I'm just going to show you my back.
Come on.
So the back also means past glory.
Come on, say it, say it.
I'm going to show you my past glory. I can't show you the future glory. I'm going to show you my past glory. Now, if correct me if I'm wrong, teacher, it wasn't Moses who wrote the five books of the law. He wrote the Torah.
Yeah.
It was the Pentateuch. Was it him that wrote it?
Yeah.
Did he write Genesis?
Yeah.
Did he say in the beginning, God created man, male and female in his image and after his likeness, created he them and gave them dominion? Well, how was he there?
Yeah.
How can you write that you weren't born yet? He wrote it because he saw past glory.
Come on, right.
God showed him a movie of the past. Stopped him in the present and said, "You can't see no more. If you see the rest, it'll kill you." I have another generation.
Awesome.
Oh my God. That is going to see my latter glory. And it's not going to be you, Moses, but it's going to be Anna and Simeon.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That are in the temple in Luke 2 and 28. The Bible said they are in the temple praying daily, interceding, waiting for the manifestation of the glory of the face of Jesus. Because this glory ain't coming in a type or a shadow. It's not coming in a cloud. It's coming in the face. Oh my God. All of the Old Testament experienced clouds and arcs. But you're about to experience the face of Jesus. Is there anybody say, "I want to see his face"?
I want to see his face.
Evidently, and this blew me away, when Hagar prophesied, oh God, thank you. I feel a yeehaw coming. I'm a hillbilly, it's coming out. Yeehaw! It just comes out of me. I feel it every once in a while. I'm getting happy because people love when I do that. They say we need to do a shirt on that. But listen, this is what makes me happy, because in Hagar, he prophesies that the latter glory shall be greater than the former. Well, guess what? They rebuilt the temple, but it wasn't magnificent as the first temple. So what is the prophet really talking about? He said the latter is going to be greater than the former. Do you not know that where Anna and Simeon were waiting for this glory was the same place where Hagar prophesied? That the latter, hallelujah, shall be greater than the former, but it's not coming in a temple.
Come on.
It's not coming in a box. It's not coming in gold dust and gold pimples. And it's coming in a face. Is there anybody say, I want to see the face? Because if you can see the face of Jesus, you can face your future. You can face any obstacle when you can see the face of Jesus. And so the Bible says when Anna and Simeon saw the Jesus, the Bible said the Spirit, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to him to do the custom of the law, they took him. The word took him was intercept. They snatched him. They were prophetic intercessors. They would not allow the corrupt priests to get a hold of Jesus. Because if the corrupt priest would have got a hold of Jesus, they would have contaminated the miracle. What we need is prophetic intercessors that know how to intercede to abort the assignment of the enemy. That when when promise comes, we don't have people that come with a spirit of murder and a spirit of sabotage to take out what God has promised. The Bible said they snatched the baby, took him, and this is what they said. Lord, he took him and raised him in his arms. He said, "Blessed be God, the Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared, and the light of the Gentiles, and the glory." and the glory of the people of Israel. I have seen the face. But ladies and gentlemen, and I'm closing with this last text. When you see his face, it's not enough. Anna and Simeon died. But they did not receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They died doing their part of interceding. But there's another generation. There's another people that will see a new glory. That will see a now glory.
My God.
Because we are not just going to see his face. But in 2 Corinthians 18, it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. From glory to glory. Good God, my. If I can see his face, I'm going to transform. I'm going to transition out of an old glory into a new glory. And I don't know about you, I'm tired of the old glory. I'm tired of talking about what God used to do. I'm ready to transition and move into a new glory. But in order for me to move into it, I got to see his. Moses had a veil. But the veil has been taken away. I ain't covering up nothing this year. I'm not apologizing for the presence of God. The church has become too user-friendly, too socially accepted. We have become so tolerant of everybody's lifestyle and everybody's behavior until we fit in. Because we don't want to be different. And preachers are afraid to speak truth now because it gets you in trouble. But I'm looking for some people that said, I don't care about any of that. Take the veil off. I want to see the face. I want to be changed. Hallelujah. Into the glory of the Lord. Is there anybody tonight that say, Lord, I want to see you?
I want to see you.
Not when I get to heaven. I need to see you now.
Right now.
Because if I can see you now.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to pray. But can I say this real quick?
Please.
Can I mess your theology up? Just a minute. It does not yet appear what we shall be.
All right.
Oh, well, let me go back. Beloved, now ye are the now. Someone say now.
Now
we are the what? Sons of God.
Hallelujah.
All right. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as
he is.
Eschatology teaches us that's last days.
Wow.
That's last days. We won't see that until last days. But I'm sorry to tell you that it says now. We are the what? Now, the word be was added into the translation. Why? To make the text sound better. How do you know that? Because I can read.
Amen.
And any word that is italicized, it means it is added. So B ain't in there.
Uh-huh.
That could have went somewhere else. It ain't in there.
Uh-huh. It will.
So it does not yet appear what we
will.
Will. But when he appear, we like him.
Yes.
Come on.
Which means if you get in worship,
yes, Lord,
you get in his glory.
Yeah.
It's not later, it's now.
Come on.
Anytime I see him, I become glory. What I see.
Yes.
And the reason why the devil hates worship. It's because when you worship, you see an image.
Come on.
You see an image of you coming out of the wheelchair. You see an image of you being healed and delivered. And if I can see it, I'll be it.
Yeah.
Can I prophesy and tell you that our worship
worship is about to intensify.
Yes.
Our worship is about to be intense,
yes,
so much so that we're going to be transformed immediately into that same image.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Come on,
go. And you're going to move from glory to glory.
Yes.
They're going to say, what happened to you? Glory.
Yes.
Why are you acting like that? Glory.
Glory.
Why you don't want to talk no more?
Glory.
Why you don't want to gossip?
Glory.
Why are you acting like that?
Glory.
What's wrong with you?
Glory.
Why you don't want to come around us?
Glory.
And that's what's happening in this moment right now.
Praise God.
Lift your hands to heaven. Father, I thank you for the glory.
Yes.
Yes.